Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Evening, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Rabble. And this is Walter's Way, episode 2. As usual, I'm joined by John and Wilf. How are you doing, guys?
Evening, Brian. Evening, Wilf.
Hey, very well.
Hey, so, guys, we actually finished on a defeat, but Wilf, the start of the season wasn't that bad, was it, compared to the last few years?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but no, it wasn't. It was okay. I mean, it was. There'd been, you know, defeats in there, but more or less, it was all kind of positive results, apart from Europe, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Sparta Prague wasn't great, but and obviously losing at home to Aberdeen was ridiculous. But yeah, apart from that, it was a kind of positive enough start to the season, I would say.
Yeah, it was certainly a mixed bag at the start, though, John, wasn't it? I mean, we had an unusual start for our standards over the last few years, but there was just a few wobbles in between that, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was, as Wilf said, you know, losing away at Hearts, losing to Aberdeen at home, 2-0. And but at this point in the season, we hadn't put any more than four victories together. Yeah, so four victories was the most we'd achieved at any one time. And in a five-game unbeaten run with that last match we finished on in Falkirk was four wins in the draw. So not very impressive, you know. So we'd got a bit of momentum out of previous seasons, but we just... You know, win three games, lose a game, draw a game, you know. So we're starting to start, but slightly better than previous years, I suppose.
Yeah. And I suppose, Wolf, when you've seen this team against Celtic at Ibrox, I mean, apart from what I could see, maybe one person that's, you know, Nisbet's probably playing out of position, everybody else is there or thereabouts. It's not a particularly bad team, but I mean, As the head gang goes, Sparkman with a terrible back pass, and imagine drawing with Liam Brady side.
Yeah, I mean it was not. It's never great not beating them, but man, that was the last six Old Firm games. Are we allowed to call it the Old Firm, or are we calling it the Glasgow Derby? Never.
Call it the Old Firm.
We'll still call it that.
You know, I went through a stage not that long ago of not wanting any association with them, so I didn't like calling it the Old Firm. Then they started calling it the Glasgow Derby, so I went, fuck it, it's got to be the Old Firm, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just don't like being associated with them, but they hate even mentioning us. But they still want to play as a friendly in Australia, but anyway, that's for another day. But no, back to this one. Played on my dad's birthday, just as an aside, 2nd of November. This was as unbeaten as the last six Old Firm games at Ibrox against them. You know, last time they beat us was 1988. So, but like you say, you shouldn't be dropping points to Liam Brady's Celtic side. You know what I mean? Because they weren't great. You know what I mean?
But... And John, we'll give you the honour of the goals. You know, McCoy's gets his a landmark goal of 210, and then I don't quite know what Sparkman was playing at for the equaliser.
No, no, McCoy's gets on. McCoy's makes a cracking near post run, you know, for a diving header. Stephen swings it in from the enclosure side, and McCoy throws himself at it. And he was fond of diving header, was Alec. But as you say, 210's goal. But Sparkman, oh, Tony Cascarino, the Irishman, the big Irishman. Was he Irish? Are we allowed to say he was Irish?
Well, he thought he was Irish. He played for the Republic, didn't he?
Yeah, but it turned out in later years he wasn't really Irish. And
Was it he'd been adopted by an Irish family and he didn't know, so there was no actual Irish blood in him at all?
Yeah, I
think he's something like 90 caps for the Republic. He wasn't even entitled to play for them.
Yeah, I know. See if that happened in our days to one of our players, they'd be wanting titles, strip the titties. Right. I think was a wasn't it? That was a famous cry, wasn't it? Strip the titties. You know, but Sparkman after the game, there was a clip of him getting interviewed in the coach saying the players gave him pelters, you know, the manager gave him pelters, and even his wife gave him pelters, you know. You know, he said he was kicked where it hurts by the missus, you know. I don't know how you don't see a 6 foot whatever Irishman standing there. You know, perfect pass, and Cascarino plays it, knocks it through Gorham. I think it's under them or through his legs, but it's like no marking that big Jolly Green Giant last year in the Scottish Cup. It's just how he didn't see him. You know, and you know, we can laugh now, but at the time it was a bit of a slow one to take, you know.
Yeah. I don't think they weren't giving Gorham much sort of grief, were they?
No, they had this. It was actually a game of few chances when you look back. You know, the only thing that happened in the first half was McCoy's bundled into Bonner, you know, kind of a bit like the way that McAvaney hit Woods all those years ago.
Yeah.
And Bonner, to be fair, just laughed. And McCoy's just gave Matt Luke as if to say, what are you doing? And McCoy's think, must have laughed back. Bonner laughed. And the referee just said, you pair of fannies, why not go on with it? You know, you know, and then like there's nothing else to it. Like a referee should do. Like that referee in Europe the other night, I thought was cracking. You know, I just got on with the players, a bit of chat, and allowed them to go on with it. But you know, 1-1 draw. As well said, I think it was the first time in 6 or 7 games since we had top points against them at Ibrox. And, you know, again, we just couldn't get our season started because we'd lost to Dundee United, you know, away.
Yeah.
You know, and got a home draw against Celtic, so... So when need to get a bit of momentum because Hearts were setting the pace. Hearts and Aberdeen were setting the pace at this point.
Yeah, that's right. And then Wolf, right after this game, the week before that, actually, we let one of your favourite signings go to Everton for £1.5 million, Morris Johnston. And then I didn't know much about this guy when he came, but I think he's one of these guys that you appreciate later. After what he did, Dale Gordon.
Yeah, Dale Gordon came without very much fanfare, as I remember.
Yeah.
The week before we signed, we sold Morris to Everton. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly sure they knew the deal was going to happen because Rangers wouldn't have gone out and spent over £1 million on a player without knowing that Johnston was heading out the door for slightly more than that. I wouldn't have thought, but like you, I didn't really know much about Dale Gordon when he came in, but he certainly let us know what he was about very, very quickly because he scored 2 on his debut at Dunfermline.
Yeah.
But again, it's Rangers going to Dunfermline and doing what they should do when they play Dunfermline.
Yeah. But I think seeing that this is the period where Mo Johnston left John, I think it's... He came to us, obviously, under the cloud of nearly signing for them and turned out signing for us. But you can't say it wasn't a good... transfer for us, was it?
It was a good transfer for us because it absolutely broke their hearts. It crushed them.
Yeah. They've still not recovered from it.
No.
And may they never recover from it.
And that's why he doesn't actually come back to Scotland, isn't it?
You're right. It's because of the grief he gets from them. You know. It was a good signing, but it was weird because Johnston was in and out of the team just before he left. The main Haitley and McCoy's were the partnership. Previously, it was Haitley and Johnson. So, McCoy's was being preferred. Johnson was dropped to the bench, and I don't know if Rangers just saw that Johnson was coming to his end of life with him.
How old would he have been at this point?
Probably about 33, 32, 33, whatever, right. I think. Yeah. Wouldn't be much older than that.
Yeah.
So I think he signed for us now, he's about 29. So.
Yeah.
But it was one of those ones where Souness was a master at it. Souness was a master, again, top dollar for his players. And that obviously rubbed off on Smith. You know, there was none of that. We're saying we're rubbing out your contract. We're letting you go for nothing. You know, just go and get a free transfer. You know, like difficult to shift on, like a la Brandon Barker.
Yeah.
As we've seen, you know, Rangers got players in, kept them for a short period of time. If we weren't doing the business, we sold them, we made a profit. There wasn't many players, I think, as soon as a Smith let go in that first spell that we didn't make money on.
Yeah.
You know, and Johnson was the right time, good fee, let him go. And, you know, and if you think about it, Johnson didn't really, he didn't shine for Everton. He didn't shine when he came back up to Scotland.
Yeah.
You know, we get the best of Mo Johnson. Well, Celtic, I suppose, get the best of Mo Johnson as well, and we get the best of him. So, yeah. But we got him and let him go right at the very top of his game
because
he was just starting to come down the other side. So, good bit of business by the club, let him go.
I think, Wolf, you said in previous, the season that we obviously signed him, that he didn't score the fourth in a 4-0 or a 5-0. He got crucial goals for us, didn't he?
Yeah, he scored loads of crucial goals for us over the time period he was here. You know, I mean, even if he hadn't scored any goals for us, it'd been an absolute disaster. It would still have broke them.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he came in and did the business for us was a serious bonus for us, and he did what we signed him for. Mm-hmm. As John says, he came in, did what he had to do for a couple of seasons, and then we punted him just as he was starting to kind of hit the downward trajectory in his career.
Yeah.
Because he went down to England, didn't really do too much.
No.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, terrific signing for Rangers, and all these years later, they still haven't got over it, which is absolutely brilliant.
Fond memories, very much so.
See when you look just on Johnson, see when you look at Johnson's goal scoring this season, as Wolf said, he scored the first or second goal in important wins.
Yeah.
But this season, only the game against Falkirk at home, his last goal for us was a goal in a 1-0 draw at home to Falkirk. All the rest were kind of a goal in a 4-0 or a 6-0 in the cup.
Yeah.
So maybe we seen something and it thought, you know something, Johnson is the guy to get us a 1 and a 1-0 or the second in a 2-1 hard fought one.
Yeah.
You know, so as I said, great bit of business. Good bit of money we recouped and we got the best of them and let them go. So yeah. So thanks more for the memories, as they say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Wolf, we go away to Dunfermline, and as you said, you alluded to there, Disco Dale gets his debut goals, and it's a rout.
Yeah, I mean, he starts off on fire. I mean, he sets up the first goal for Big Goffey to head in after about 6 minutes. You know, that's not a bad way to endear yourself to the Rangers support. That's before he starts scoring goals.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Dale Gordon wasn't really with us that long, but. You know, he did what we bought him to do, and we bought him to score goals. Obviously, we bought him to replace Johnson because Johnson left the week after he came in. And I mean, he certainly did that. He was setting up goals, he was scoring goals. And I'll always have a wee fond place in my heart for Disco Dale, as they call him.
Would you say he was a winger more than a striker in this sort of team?
I thought he was signed as a winger.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, a hell of a lot of goals for a winger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at his goal record, and for a winger, that's an astonishing amount, John.
Yeah, he was fond of cutting inside, you know, and I think it was one of the games at Paisley, when he gets another double, he gets a header. You know, it might actually be, it's this game, he gets the second goal, which is a header on it through the middle, across set up, you know, but I'm just amazed at the amount of Ds that I could get in a headline from Disco Dale dancing with delight on Dream Debut with double. I mean, I think the letter D was stuck in my keyboard. I do like a bit of alliteration when I'm typing it.
Yeah.
You know, match report or something like that. But no, it was one of these wingers that cut in from the right and was powerful with his left foot. So
yeah.
And it didn't go past people as much on the beating for pace on the outside. He was a guy with a bit of skill, a bit of trickery, and would come inside and do you on the inside as well as outside, but nah, I was He was a winger. I'd have said he was a winger.
Yeah.
A bit fond of coming in.
Yeah. And then Gough, Hatley and McCoist complete the rout against Dunfermline away. So you kind of were kind of back on the track of goals, clean sheets and a win. And at home, John, we play our Airdrie and it's another sort of rout, 4-0. So that's 9-4-0 against in two games.
Yep, we kept a zero. Yep, as you say, forms back. Couple of good wins, you know, two games, 9 goals against the Jobbers, you know. Dunfermline get relegated this season. They're kind of down from about February, you know. After New Year, Dunfermline are preparing for relegation. Yeah, we're a poor side. And Airdrie, you know, Airdrie would cause a couple of problems and cause some team problems over this season and end up finishing seventh. So it was a decent performance. You know, I think we got a draw with Airdrie later in the season, actually. But nah, I can't complain, you know. Hatley, Robertson and McCoist, as you say, getting the goals. Job done, I suppose. Beat the Jobbers.
A bit of a collector's item, John Robertson scored in.
It was, yeah. And I'm trying to think whether it was one that, I don't know if the squad was left. I couldn't find any highlights of this game.
No
matter where I looked, so I couldn't see. It was just a wee clipping, I think, from a newspaper or something like that.
I really hope you meant Davy Robertson, because John Robertson was a wee fast
player. Did you
say John Robertson? I never picked up on that.
Sorry.
I'll have to
try and edit that out.
I thought I'd missed a signing that I'd forgotten about.
There was a rumour we were going to sign him at one time, wasn't there?
There was. My favourite left back, and I've just misnamed him. I feel ashamed.
No, sorry.
However, we get a 4-0 win against Airdrie, and around the coming up to the festive period, Wolf, we head along the M8 to Edinburgh, and the deadly duo up front get the convincing win.
Yeah, I'm not sure when your festive period starts in the forest, but mine certainly doesn't start in the middle of November. But anyway,
we're heading towards it. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, 3-0 Easter Road. Even when Hibs aren't very good, and Hibs at this time weren't very good, going to Easter Road's never easy. A 3-0 win, you've got to be happy with that. As you say, the strike partnership, getting the goals, doing the business. McCoist with a couple, Hatley with one. You know, all in the second half. No, didn't finish it till about 7 minutes from the end, you know. But yeah, routine win.
Yeah, I suppose it makes up for the cup semi as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we can't always say it's a routine win at Easter Road, but it was a routine win at Easter Road, so happy days.
And when you watch the highlights of this back, I know, Wilf, you spoke about, these guys spoke about how good Hustra was and how much he's overlooked.
Yeah.
Hustra runs rampant in this game. He was a provider for all the goals, pace, power, directness. In the extended highlights, what a performance he put in that night, you know. So absolutely fantastic, you know. The I don't know, he never got a goal, but he deserved a goal. You know, it'd be one of these performances now where you think, I mean, a Ryan Kent-like performance, you know, no end product for him, set up everybody else, a bit like Louder, a bit unselfish. Hustra was superb in this game, you know, absolutely first class.
Yeah.
So, brilliant, yeah.
And I mean, when you've got ammunition on either side, John, you've got Hustra one side, Disco Dale on the right, you know, it's a potent wing partnership, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're leaving players like Mikhailichenko and things like that out of sight. He can't get inside at this point. No. You know, he's getting left out. And, you know, as you say, I mean, Gordon came to the club, started well, you know, and you've got Hustra on the other side. Yeah. You know, as you know, two wingers, you know, and I think Hustra was the best of the bunch, so best of the two of them. And McCoist and Hatley, you know, I mean, that's a front four and everything. You know, you can call it a midfield, but that's a front four sitting there.
And a
settled defence. You know, Gorham Stevens all season. I think Gary Stevens only misses one game near the end of the season. Robertson misses no many games either. I mean, misses a game, you know. So Gorham's ever present. Stevens misses one. Robertson misses one. Spikeman misses one. McCoy's misses a handful. You know, you've got the spine of your team there.
Yeah.
Spikeman in the middle, your goalkeeper, right back, left back. Gough has misses a few games, maybe misses about a dozen games, but solid spine. You know, right through. You know, and McCoist, no injury prone, touch wood this season. So, Very good.
I suppose we'll stay with you, John, after that. We'll go to St Mirren at home, and it doesn't matter when you play St Mirren. I think it's fair to say we should always expect to win, but this didn't quite turn out the way we thought.
Nope. Scruffy.
I dare say you were at this game, were you?
I would have been at the game, but I don't remember it from the time, but I would have been there. But Alan Ruff is another one of these inspired games, as Alan Ruff always did against us. Yeah. I don't think Alan Ruff ever had a bad game against him. So, yeah. You know, and somebody called Kevin McGowan scored with a 30-yarder. But I don't remember it, but I would have been there. But I can't beat St Mirren. You know, that was Aberdeen's beating us at home. St Mirren have beaten us at home, you know. And we've dropped points against Dundee United and Hearts away, which are tricky away grounds. You know, you expect maybe a tough game, but you don't expect to get beat against St Mirren. You know, I think maybe Kenny McDowell was the last player before that to have done it. So,
well, of course, that's when he dislocated Woods' shoulder, wasn't it?
It would have been, yeah. So I think that'd been the last time. But another 1-0 defeat against St Mirren. Not good at all.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we move on, you know, I've got no recollection of Alan Ruff ever playing at St Mirren. And I've been at that game. And I've got no recollection. I remember him playing at Partick Thistle. I remember him playing across the East End, but I've got no recollection of him playing at St Mirren.
I'm going to check that in case I've got it.
He was at Hibs as well, wasn't he?
It was at Hibs, but John Burridge was the goalkeeper at Hibs at this point.
Yeah. No, that's funny. I don't remember him playing for St Mirren either.
I'm not saying he didn't,
I just don't remember. But then I don't pay much attention to the opposition anyway.
I don't either.
As Andy Cameron once famously said, I should only pay half price, you only watch one of the teams.
So after the disappointing defeat, we go to Fir Park Wolf and another familiar looking lineup with a couple of changes, but it's a 2-0 win.
Yeah, Mikhailichenko back in the side. And we go to Motherwell again. Again, a blank first half. Two goals early second half. Again, Disco Dale with the opener. Big Richard Goff sticking it in the net from a Dale Gordon assist, as they call them now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, there's Dale Gordon showing his worth again.
Yeah.
You know, he's not long company club. He's had two assists and two goals in his debut. And then there's a couple of weeks later, he's scoring the first and setting up the second in a 2-0 win in Lanarkshire. You know what I mean? Great piece of business. But we're still 3 points behind Hearts. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, there's that elephant that's going to fall out of that tree sometime soon.
Now, if you were picking one or the other, Wolf, out of Mikhailichenko and Hoistra, who would you pick?
To me, they're different players. To me, Mikhailichenko was...
A wide forward?
Not really. Mikhailichenko's favourite game was standing in the middle of the park spraying balls about.
Yeah.
I mean, when he actually could be arsed and he went wide, he was a fairly decent, as you say, wide forward.
Yeah.
But he seemed to prefer just to stand in the middle of the park spraying passes about, as I remember him. You know? An absolute Rolls Royce of football player. I'd have him on the team every week, an absolute Rolls Royce of football player.
Yeah. Yeah, he's probably one of those guys that would drive you absolutely insane at some games, but you would marvel at the same time. Would that be fair, John?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, I think the only player I think we've maybe seen maybe like him since that was mine was Nico
Cranchar.
I couldn't mind his surname. Yeah. You know where he was an absolute fantastic football player, no legs, no engine. But could just dictate play and knock the ball a bit. But Big Miko did frustrate the fuck out of you. You know, he'd maybe stick out a lazy leg every now and again, or maybe have a wee half-hearted run. But he knew where the goal was, you know. He got a few goals, you know. So he didn't make many long bursting runs, but he'd been the right place at the right time, you know. So, and listen, I'm still gutted, lads. I've got Alan Ruffy somewhere. I don't know where I got Alan Ruffy playing for St Mirren. I've been checking Wiki and everything. Campbell Money would have been a keeper at that point.
I thought about that. But I mean, he could have been a reserve keeper or whatever, because he'd been a fair age at that time. You know what I mean?
I know, but I couldn't see it. I've checked Wiki, so I need to go back and check there.
Well,
I'm going back to take notes,
right? We'll just say he was
Yeah. Martin doesn't tell us who listens to this anyway. but a fine one over Motherwell, which was good to get back on the horse after the defeat against it, man. And
yeah,
we're going to go on a little unbeaten run for a bit. Yeah, this is really.
This is when you're wanting to put the foot down, isn't it? So, well, if we go back, we go up the road. I don't know if you're in the area at this point.
I would have been, yeah, I was up here at this point. I came up here in 87, so yeah, I was up here at this point.
And we have settled here, the birth of the BFG.
The old boot flick goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kicked out by Gorham, flicked on to McCoyston, rattled in by Hitley.
Yeah.
I mean, we tripped to Pittodrie, 3-2. Can't argue with that, you know. I mean, I think it sticks out for me that bloody Brian Irvin scoring against us again, as I said. I mean, Brian Irvin just scored goals against us. Hardly scored against anybody, he always scored against us. You know,
I'd like to see his goal count, because as you say, he must, all his goals, or 90% of his goals, must be against us.
Well, even if you fast forward to, and I know we'll get to it in about 3 years' time when we get to 8 in a row, he scores Aberdeen's goal that day as well. You know, he's just... I don't know. It just seemed to love scoring against us.
Yeah. But no, I mean, John, that was a... Well, obviously Aberdeen and Hearts were setting the pace at this point, so it was a superb win up there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And even though, as Wilf alluded to in a previous show, that it was the first win in, I think, 25, 26 matches at Pittodrie a season or two before, it was still a difficult place to go at that point. I mean, we weren't dominant that we are now up there. You know, it was still seen as a tricky venue, and Big Haitley ran riot that night. He was absolutely superb. You know, and I can envision him after scoring that first, running backwards towards the main stand, you know, just getting at the, you know, just look at me, you know, Bryant, you know. So, but no, it was a tricky place to go. We need some decent players, Hillhouse, you know, who caused his bother. You know, Snelder's top-class keeper, as well said, Brian Irvin, causing us some problems. Ian Jess and Scott Booth would have been around about that time as well, so it was a hard place to go. So, and it always seemed to be a midweek game in the winter. In the winter, you always managed to get to Pittodrie midweek. So,
It's still the same.
So, that you always get it. Yeah. But to get a goal so early, 6 minutes up there, you know, I have put it, it's not us to get a Pittodrie in a December Wednesday night. Aye, so Wednesday night up there. So, cracking victory. Yeah. You know, I think that, and this isn't long before, I think Alex Smith gets a boot. He gets a boot no long after this, or at some point. You know, maybe it's a wee bit later in the season, he gets a sack. So, nice to know with a bit of something to do, and, you know, the Aberdeen manager getting a sack. But they're still going well at this point. Demon Hearts are still setting the pace.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, it wasn't as though Aberdeen were doing poorly at this stage, was it?
No, they were still setting the pace, because a couple of games before this, Demon Hearts were above us, even by a point, you know, after 15 games. But I think maybe this might be the start of their slide.
Yeah.
Good. Fuck them.
I mean, it's certainly, Wolf, possibly the last sort of decent team they had, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, they were still, because they're a team, as John said, you know, half full of Dutchmen, they had Schnelders, they had Hillhouse was a cracking player. Mm-hmm. And the boy that scored the first goal here, Teo Tenkat, they had a number of foreign guys. But on that goal that Tenkat scores, I mean, it's a rebound when a penalty hits the post. Right. And, I mean, he was standing on the 6 yard line when the penalty got taken. he ran so far in, you know. I mean, everybody thinks that us not getting the breaks off of referees, and you think, I mean, later on in the game, we should have had a penalty, which he doesn't give because he moves play on.
Yeah.
Haitley scores the goal. The linesman gives offside, but we still don't get the penalty. You know what I mean? So, you know, anybody that thinks that referees just now are the ones, you know, not cutting us a bit of slack, it's been going on for years and years and years. But,
yeah.
I mean, this referee this night, Les Mottram, from fourth, because if you remember back in the day, they always put where they came from. Yeah. Hugh Dallas from Bonkel and Brian McGinley from Alfron. And Les Mottram from fourth. And I don't know if you remember it. John, you probably remember it. Les Mottram was the referee at, I think it was a Dundee United Motherwell game.
Dundee United Partick Thistle.
Partick Thistle. You know what I mean? When the boy absolutely rattled it, it hit the stanchion, because there were stanchions in those days.
Yeah.
Right. The ball came out from the stanchion. The defender caught the ball and handed it to the goalkeeper. And he moved play on because he's not seen it go in. He's looked at the linesman. The linesman's looked back at him as the boys handed the ball to the goalkeeper. None of them seen the ball go in. None of them seen the handball. And they've waved play on. You know what I mean? Just fucking ridiculous. Honestly, ridiculous. Just ridiculous. You know?
Oh. Bill at Bobby Madden all week at Tannadice, You know, yeah, I've seen the handball linesman. You going to give it? Nah, I'm not giving it. I don't want my Windies put in. Nah, well, Nenius will give it. You know, we'll just wait play on.
Oh.
But no, it's. I mean, this was a cracking win, and we let them back in it. We're Hatley playing a mad back pass. I mean, Haley's back helping the defence. If you think Morelos comes deep, you know, Haley's in the middle of your half and plays a back pass. You know? Crazy. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So and everyone scores after Goff blocks it, you know?
Yeah. And what I can see, pretty much the same team. We play St Johnson. There's maybe one or two changes. No, I think it's the same team. And we're home to St Johnson and 3-1. I suppose, John, it's maybe you're thinking maybe it should be a bit more convincing, but nonetheless, it's a win.
Yeah, it's a win. St Johnson were always a stuffy side, but right now, I'm still laughing at Wilf's comment about the penalty kick at Pittodrie we don't get in Hatley scores to get a hat trick. I'm just laughing at that, you know. You know, you don't get a penalty. We just play on, we score, and then it's way flagged off offside. That's funny. Anyway, sorry, I'm digressing there. Yeah, it was Lindsay Hamilton, formerly of our parish. You know, was in goal for St Johnstone and had a couple of seasons with him. You know, and played quite well because it was talking a Scotland call up either on the back of this game or back of another game. You know, so Lindsay Hamilton for Scotland was a cry. You know, and it was this game actually. It was in Versailles Scotland call up. You know, a couple of good saves to Dale Gordon looking at the highlights, and you know, Mikhailichenko, you know, Brown and Hatley getting the goals in a routine win. Yeah, you know, I think I hadn't heard of the player that equalised for them, a guy called Darkins, because the only players you kind of knew from St Johnstone at that time were John Ingalls, who used to give us a hard time.
Yeah.
Big bustling centre half, you know, but no, a couple of late goals, you know, second one with 12 minutes to go, and Hatley get the third to make the game safe in a minute. So, so routine win as it should be at Perth,
absolutely.
Yeah,
keeps the run and run,
yeah.
And I suppose, Wolf, this sort of ties back to last season. So, when everybody hears that we're playing well, it's funny that we're speaking about them and we're playing them this coming week. We played Red Star Belgrade last season, the season before we spoke about, and we got beat by them 3-0 and then drew 1-1 at home.
Mm-hmm.
And there's maybe one or two people were thinking, oh, how did we lose to this lot, blah, blah. Well, this season they go on and win the World Club Championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to think, but I don't have any knowledge of this game when they beat Chile's Colo Colo, which is a great name for a football team. Yeah, 3-0. But I remember when they won the European Cup in 1991. It was probably the worst European Cup final in the history of European Cup finals. And there's been some bad ones.
Yeah,
I mean, they set out just to get the game to penalties at 0-0. That's exactly what they got. You know what I mean, it was horrendous, as I recall it, absolutely horrendous. But I mean, it's never nice to get out of Europe. But you can put out Europe with a team that want to win it. You can always say, okay, we got out with the winners. It's always a nice thing to say.
Yeah,
so they can see that this season they get out with the winners. Hopefully,
yeah, I mean, when you run through some of the players, Darko Panchev, is it Dejan Savicevic?
Yeah.
Robert Prozinecki, and is it Jugovic that played for was it Inter or was it Lazio or somebody like that?
I think they definitely Sampdoria. Was one of the Italian teams. Yeah, he was
Sampdoria, I think.
Yeah,
he won the. Yeah. I think he won the Italian league with Sampdoria that year.
But they won their bad side though.
No. Yeah. Even their international was this not virtually their international team that played Red Star?
Aye.
Yeah, but the quality of players they had made it even more ridiculous the way they went out in that European Cup final. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got guys like that. I mean, Darko Panchev, you know what I mean? He could control the ball in a phone box with three people standing beside him, you know what I mean? they just set out to go for a 0-0 draw. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just ridiculous.
No.
But at the end of the day, they got the trophy, which is all that matters to them, I suppose.
Yeah.
Brian, that's a good bit of knowledge. You played for Inter and Sampdoria.
Well, I knew he played for Sampdoria when they won the league because they've only won it once, I think.
Yeah, so picture him in the Sampdoria top with the ERG and with the Pirelli. Yeah, so it looks like he maybe played for Sampdoria before Inter.
Yeah.
He looks younger in the picture. Yeah. I'm not very scientific, I know. So.
No, but no, marvellous players, and it just seems poetic that we're playing them in a week's time or so.
As long as we put them out. Well, this is it. Well, great if we get knocked out.
Yeah, absolutely. So after that win at St. Johnson.
Sorry, there's one for you. He also played for Juve. Well, here's this, right? From Red Star, he went to Sampdoria, Juventus, Lazio, Atletico Madrid, Inter, Monaco, Admira Wacker, and LR Arlen, whoever that is. So he certainly liked his Italian lira.
Yeah.
I mean, four Italian sides. Yeah, so.
Must have liked the signing on fee as well. More clubs than Jack Nicklaus to pawn it to.
Yeah.
So we've hit mid December pretty much on the nose. It's away to Falkirk. Your favourite ground in Scotland, and a 3-1 win away from home keeps us on the trail with Hearts.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for is to go to places like Falkirk and do what we should do. We should always win there, and I know that's quite arrogant, but that's what we should do. We should be going to places like Falkirk and Airdrie and Dunfermline, and
yeah.
we should always be rolling over. We will occasionally drop points, but this is just as routine as they come.
Yeah.
You know? Keeping on Hearts' tail, they're not dropping off any, you know.
Yep.
McCoy's Haitley, McCall getting the goals, you know. For a change, we scored in the first half, scored a couple of goals in the first half.
Yeah.
Tied it up just after half time, you know. Disco Dale involved again, you know what I mean? Certainly shown his worth, you know.
Yeah.
Right, John, you're going to have to explain this one. This has slipped my memory, this. McCoy scores, we played Dundee United at home, the weekend before Christmas, and there's always the cup was the United response after we beat them.
Yeah, because Jim McLean was livid because we gave him a going over, and I think if I remember right, they played Duncan Ferguson out in the left wing, and I don't know who they played through the middle. They put Ferguson out in the left wing that night, and he never got a kick of the ball.
Well, he's 6'4", isn't he?
Yeah, but he's no a winger. Yeah, it's like days when we played Lee McCulloch out in the wing, out in the left wing, because he could head a kick out,
yeah,
you know, and start a move. So now we beat United pretty convincingly, you know, and it was, as I said, it was extra special because we opened the top tier of the main stand.
We did. We opened the club that day. My name appeared on my seat for the first time at a game, and I wasn't in it. I was working in and a pub in Aberdeen at the time, and obviously it's a Saturday before Christmas, it's bloody busy, there's not a chance I'm getting the day off. No. Because normally what used to happen on a Saturday is my boss would let me, I'd go in and open up, he'd let me disappear, and then he'd come back in.
Uh-huh.
But not this day, it's too busy.
No.
Far too busy. So, in fact, no, this is before I did start, I was working in a hotel at this time, actually. So there's absolutely no chance I was getting off. You know, that's prime time function stuff. Sorry, I'm going ahead a couple of years. This is prime time function stuff. So there's no chance. But my mate was in my seat. Guy was best friend at my wedding. He got my ticket because, although, you know, we obviously got to buy the season ticket. He didn't get a half season ticket in those days. Such a thing didn't exist. So because they only opened the club deck on the 21st of December, we just bought individual tickets for it. And obviously, I got the ticket for it. Mm-hmm. And my mate Steve used it. So the first person to sit in my seat in the club deck wasn't me. I still sit there to this day. But yeah, I mean, 7,169 fans, you know, that's what the club deck holds. There was debentures. You could buy a debenture. There was three different levels of debenture: £1,000, £1,300. I think it was £1,650. I bought one for £1,000 because at the time you couldn't get shares, and I wanted to own part of the club.
Yeah,
hell of a lot of money in '91, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. But they sorted out finance schemes and all that, so you know what I mean. Aye. Got it on the old never. You know, as I remember, it was originally sold as a debenture bond. It was like a 20-year debenture bond.
Yeah.
And I think the original plan was in 20 years, you got your initial debenture value back. I think that sounds like that was probably part of the deal. You know what I mean? But for the 20 work out 20 years from 1991, 2011, never saw the money, you know what I mean? So it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's one of them. And it was also supposed to be an unsegregated area because anybody could buy a bond.
Yeah.
Anybody could have a debenture. You didn't have to be a Rangers fan. But obviously, it was all the Rangers fans that were buying them.
Yeah.
Because you know? they were marketing it for, you could get it for pop concerts and stuff like that and things like that.
Any event that was under the auspices of Rangers, you got offered your seat before anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
for this, for the next season, I didn't buy my season ticket because I was still working in a hotel and I couldn't go very often. But the following season, I still got offered the season ticket before anybody else because it was my seat.
Right.
You know? And I took it and I've taken it every season since.
Yeah.
But that was the thing with the debenture. It didn't matter if you didn't take your season ticket. You didn't go back on the wait list. You were always offered it because it was your seat.
Okay.
You know, which was quite famous. And they sent you a tie every year, and there was all that sort of, you know, ridiculous things like that. I've got a cupboard full of club deck ties that they just send them every year. The lady's got one of these silk headscarf things,
mm-hmm.
and the bloke's got a tie, you know.
And what do you wear most often, Wilf? what Wilf's trying to say, Brian, is in a roundabout way, he's got his ticket for Harry Styles this year.
That's what he's trying to say, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm actually missing Harry Styles. Although I have to say, my Majors account was used to buy a Harry Styles ticket, but not by me.
Shocking.
I know somebody that was desperate to get. So she said she was looking to get the priority purchase, which was Majors member. So I said, just use mine. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. What Wilf should have said was the prices for the debenture was worth £1,350. And if Wilf had said £1,690, then that would have just set the roof on fire. He should have said
that wasn't the cost of it. So
now, John, you're quite partial to the old Christmas presents, but this was a bit of an expensive one, wasn't it? The club deck.
It was, yeah. £17 million was it? To put it up, but I've been in a club deck twice, I think, in Livingston at the start of the season, COVID, and a game against the Tims, and I'm glad I'm not up there because my legs are too tiny. It's as bad as the main stand at Tannadice it used to be.
It's a hell of a trek up, isn't it?
It's not the trek up, it's even a guy that dodge up.
There's not a lot of room.
You don't get a lot of leg room, so it's not for me, the club deck.
And when it was built, you know, the steel girder along the roof, the big white steel girder along the roof, uh-huh. It was the largest single steel structure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was either in Britain or in Europe at that time. Because it just came in one bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sure David Murray bought it off a company called Murray International Metals. I'm fairly sure that's who he bought them from. I'm sure he bought it from himself.
Yeah.
Was it on an EBT, was it?
And as you were saying, Brian, we were leading the race to bring Trevor Stephen back to the club because Marseille had reneged on payments for it,
It wasn't like Marseille to do anything like that, was it?
No, dodgy fuckers. Allegedly. No, dodgy fuckers. Fucking allegedly. No, because we'd only receive part of the fee, so... And that's the thing about transfers. You know, you hear all the dog-eating bloggers and all that saying that, you know, we're only Rangers still owe millions on the Ryan Kent fee and everything else. You don't turn up with a carry a bag of cash on the day and say, I'm buying that player, there's a bag of money. You know, all these deals are structured that it takes years. You know, yeah. I think Yelovich was one of the ones where, you know, I think that we took us a couple of years to pay the fee and stuff like that, because that's what the deals are. You don't spend 5 or 10 million on that day on a player and hand over the bag. No. Yeah. So
it's a 5 million deal. You pay 2.5 up front and you pay the rest in installments.
Yeah, exactly. And every club does that, you know, and players that we sell will be the same.
Yeah.
You know, and,
I remember, if you're talking about the Jelovic deal, if you remember, we'd sign Jelovic and we'd transfer Jelovic, and then we had our financial issues in 2012.
Yeah.
And one of the first debts we had to pay off to keep going as a football club was for Jelovic, because that was a football debt that we had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't understand why these people think, well, you just, like you say, you just woke up with a suitcase full of cash, you say, there you go, there's the money. You better start counting that. I mean, it's just not how it works.
Yeah. And our old pal, Graham Souness, was trying to get Trevor Stephen for Liverpool, but we'd first dibs on him, you know, which was part of the deal. And I suppose, I mean, it maybe seems strange that you structure a transfer deal to say you're paying 5 million for him, 5.5 million or whatever, but if you don't raise the money, if you don't give us the cash, we get first dibs on them back.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's still the case with transfer deals. Yeah, I'll need to check Twitter.
we made a fortune on Trevor Stephen.
Aye,
yeah,
because we bought them back for a lot less than we sold them for.
Yeah, yeah, and he was only about 6 months or so, 9 months. Aye, not way long.
Aye, he was.
Yeah, so. A Christmas present, as you say, we always liked a Christmas present.
Aye, we always liked a Christmas present. This one was just a bit more expensive.
Yeah.
So after that game and the unveiling of the stand and such and whatnot, we play Dunfermline at home, Wilf, and it's, as John was alluding to earlier, we were struggling for runs and forms and form before this, but this was our sixth successive league win of the season. And as John's alluded to there, it's the annual Gary Stevens goal.
Yep, and more importantly than that, it's the first time I sat in my seat in the club deck.
All right.
As I got to this one, I sat in my seat in the club deck the second time it was there for a game. Don't remember anything about the game, I just remember I was definitely there that day. Six successive league defeats since we lost that game against St Mirren. Gary Stevens scoring a goal, it must be Christmas time. Again, Dale Gordon is chipping in again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Proven his worth. John Spencer in for Mark Gately. John Spencer didn't start a lot of games for us before he moved to Chelsea. You know?
Yeah.
A young lad that I just don't think he could handle the pressure at Rangers. I mean, I remember when we signed him, he was about 14. And he went to an apartheid school because he was from a mixed marriage. And because he played for this apartheid school, all the press were up, oh, Rangers have signed a Catholic. Well, he was 14 years old. Mm. I mean, and the press pack were actually outside watching him play for his school team as a young teenager. It was just ridiculous. The pressure on the boy was ridiculous. I just don't think he could handle it. Because he went to Chelsea and did okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a decent career after that.
Yeah.
Which is unusual when a kid leaves Rangers, let's be honest.
Yeah. Nice to see, though.
No, I mean, with a kid left Rangers recently with £12 million, no kick the ball since he left. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Nope, and I remember this in the other news. I was a avid collector of the Rangers news, and I was pretty devastated when it went from the newspaper form to the magazine, John.
So was I. I was devastated as well, because I kept them as well. And the Rangers news newspaper folded fantastically well when it was colour. When it was colour at that point, okay, black and white was a wee bit more tricky, but typical kind of tabloid look. But the Rangers news newspaper. Just it was so thin, it was colourful, it was cracking typeset, really nice to read, and it went to a magazine, and I was gutted as well, because it looked a wee bit like the programme, just a little bit bigger in size, but no, the Rangers newspaper was a thing of beauty, and I'm still blaming my ex-wife for giving all mine away, along with the programme.
I've still got boxes full of them with me, seller.
Yeah, I think we should scan them, Wilf. You know, should get them scanned, you know. Whatever.
Get them digitalised.
Aye, get them done like that. You know, I actually
wish we'd bring it back.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, these days everything's digital, but I mean, I've just got a hankering for that. It's probably a nice thing. I love the Rangers News, and as John points out here, it was the biggest club publication in Britain at the time.
Yeah.
mean, every news agent you walked into, every news agent I walked into, even up here, there was a copy of the Rangers news in, you know, in with all the newspapers every week. You know what I mean? It was just, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I worked for Mendy's, and it was a huge, huge weekly seller. Both that and the Celtic View, to be fair. So both that and their paper as well were huge sellers. And a Tuesday night, used to have to put them out for Wednesday morning, you know, for the news agents. So, cracking days, those.
So we go on our usual trip to the East End, Wolf, and a very satisfying win over the nearest, our better rivals, the usual scorers on the score sheet, but an unusual one to finish off the route.
Yeah, I like the way you were careful what you called them there. yeah, but again, again, I wasn't that, because working in a hotel around about New Year, it's a busy old time. So, but yeah. This was actually my mate's first ever Old Firm game, as he keeps reminding me. And the highlight of it, everybody must have seen it, John Brown comes off the bench and scores an absolute screamer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you look at the footage, it's probably, 20, 25 yards. If you ask John Brown, it was about 25 miles he hit it from. and the first time I asked him, he said it was a mile and a half, so that's how far back it's gone over the year. And he's over the advertising boards and he's away. I mean, I think they caught him halfway to Denniston. You know what I mean?
He was
off and running. You know, because that just tied it up. It was 2-1 at that time. That just tied it up. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, Andy Gorham should be thoroughly ashamed of himself, letting Tony Mowbray beat my header. You know what I mean? He's ashamed of himself. You know. But yeah, any win against them is great. But New Year ones are very special because that sets the year up for me. Anyway, that sets the year up. You know. Beat them in New Year, you're going to have a good year. Don't beat them in New Year, it's all doom and gloom.
And I've put a wee note there. That it was a stat, it was on the TV highlights. We had 7 players that cost £1 million or more.
That's unreal, eh?
Yeah. So, Gorham, Stevens, David Robertson, wasn't he? He was just short £1 million.
Yeah, he was just shy £1 million.
850, yeah. Wasn't he? It's 900.
900 odds, yep. Yeah. So, you had Gorham, Stevens, Goff, Kuznetsov would have been over £1 million, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Dale Gordon, Stuart McCall, I didn't think, but Stuart McCall was over £1 million.
Stuart McCall was over £1 million.
And Mikhailchenko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much was it?
Couldn't have been £1 million because if we've got 7 players, and I need to check it. So you've McCoy, Haley, Spackman, and Davey Robertson, less than £1 million. You know, that's not a bad team we've got there. If they four players don't make £1 million.
No.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Wikipedia to see Haley. I think it was about either 350 or 550. Yeah, 1,000 we paid for Haley.
How much?
I don't know. I'm just going to check it out. Right.
I mean, even the first goal, I mean, it's a great sort of run in the midfield from Spackman, who robs our favourite man, Peter Pointer, and then Gordon goes down. And he crosses over Haitley, who tries to have a shot and then somehow sclaffs it. But McCoist is there 4 yards out. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, Stanley McCoist doing what Ali McCoist does. If it's 3, 4, 5 yards out, he's the man to stick it in the net.
Yeah, you know,
McCoist off and running. They're all screaming for offside. He's off and running, saying, "Nah, I'm having it. Thanks very much." And in those days, we did get the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
And John, we'll come on to you because you like your penalty debates. There was no doubt about this one, was there?
No, there was not. But I've just checked Wikipedia. Haitley was £1 million as well. So that must be 8 players then. So I don't know where John Brown got his information from that day. Maybe maybe not quite as bad as saying Alan Ruff was in goal this at none, mind you. But this was a definite penalty, you know, and going back to what Wolf said about that first goal, Spackman does ever so well robbing Peter Grant and then turning, you know, Grant just turns the wrong way, Spackman's away, wins a couple of tackles and we're away. But this was a strange penalty because McCoy's come sliding in on the keeper, the ball breaks, McCoy's goes to go up and Marshall just rolls on top of him.
They both sort of slided together, didn't they?
Aye. And they just... As McCoy goes to get up, Marshall just says, you know what, I'll just lie on his leg, I'll just land on him, and the referee will do nothing. You know, and it was one of those ones that was so comical that if the referee had that gave it, he'd have said, that's it, and no wonder he's not gave that. But it was a good call by the referee, because the camera angle, the angle of McCoy is actually behind, you know, is behind Marshall, so he's obscured, the vision's obscured, but now it's, you know, it's definitely a penalty. And, you know, it's job done. I'm just laughing.
Even though our old pal Jock Brown tried to say it was controversial.
Yeah, controversial. Yeah, so there's a handball in the first half. I don't know if it's Morris or whatever falls back, or, and the ball's bobbling up and going over him to get into the goal, and the hand goes up, and you know, but I'm just laughing. When you watch the video back, you see John Brown coming on as a sub. You know, and the commentator said, "Oh, it's as if Brown's passing instruction on to the midfield. He's getting it. Get into the bastards." there's nothing in that wee bit of paper doing the soak in those days, you know. It was like, fucking, just fucking do them. Yeah. Get into them, you know. So, bringing on instruction.
The bit I find funny about this is, Wolf, I don't know if you do, Hatley was on penalties at this point. This penalty. I don't get that.
Well, Hatley seemed to go through stages where he took penalties. I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody had kind of missed one. I mean, McCoy, I'd imagine, would have been your other obvious choice of a penalty taker.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know, maybe he just fancied it. You know what I mean? I'm a great believer. Okay, you've got a nominated penalty taker, but if somebody just fancies it, let them take it.
Yeah.
But if they take it, they've got to score it.
Well, that's the problem, yeah.
If you take it off the guy whose job it is to take the penalty and you don't score it, look out. I'd never have any doubt about Hatley taking a penalty, because I mean, he just fucking blurted it and it went. I mean, all the time.
Yeah, well, we are getting penalties in two games later in the season, but two against Airdrie and one against somebody else, and Hatley takes them both. Mm-hmm. Airdrie and Hibs, you know, later in the season.
So he must have been the nominated penalty taker then.
Aye, yeah. Yep, you know what I mean? So, and Johnson had the penalty early in the season against St. John's. So McCoy's the known penalties all season. There's no McCoy's penalty, you know, anywhere in the league that season. So McCoy's maybe could have got a few more goals had they been on
penalties. I was just thinking he's lost out in a few goals there, hasn't he?
Yes, indeed, yeah. In this game here against the Thames, that's Paul McStay's always had a good shot against Rangers, either hits a bar or hits a post or Gordon Brownley saves. So I think that was all McStay ever done against us, wasn't it?
He's got potential.
He runs about a bit, and has a shot that Gordon saves. So,
well, that lad next day has got potential.
I heard they were selling a book that the fans had to crowdfund, and I don't know if it's ever been published or not, but enough about them. And as Will said, John Brown getting the third.
Yeah.
You love that, John Brown. You know, he scuds it, hits the far post and goes in. And it's one of these shots, when you watch it back on TV, you hear the noise it hitting the post.
Yes.
You know, like Cooper's free kick against Aberdeen, you hear it hitting the net.
Yeah.
You know, you hear this hitting the post.
Yes.
You know, and getting in, you know, so, and
it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy, John Brown, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Been at a couple of your supporters days, nights, years ago with the Tory Line True Blues. Always handled himself very well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, John obviously didn't score many goals, but it's nice for him to get the clincher for the Old Firm and New Year Day. I think he always says that's his favourite goal, Wolf, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I think, can I sign us off for tonight with a wee John Brown story?
Yes, you certainly can. Fire
John,
on.
He said he had John Brown and a couple of supporters. We had him at a supporters club do up here in Aberdeen at the Granite City years and years ago. Player of the year doing, he said, he did his wee speech, I'll never forget it. He says the boys contacted me and said, you know, what do you want as like a present, you know, a trophy? He says, we've got loads of trophies lying about the house and stuff like that. He says, you look for something different. And somebody suggested a ship in a bottle. He says, I just heard them, I thought you said a shit in a bottle. And I couldn't work out how they're going to get it in there, because Roy Aitken was in there already. That was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
That's class. Yeah, that's one good thing about the supporters things, that, you know, the players, there's always a story, isn't there, John?
Yeah, there always was. You know, we'd Ferguson at them as well, and, you know, with John Brown, a couple as well. Kings Park Hotel used to be the favourite haunt and whatever for us.
I've actually walked to West Hill away with John Brown. Over a week when we did it for Travis Tech with Scott Cunningham. Bomber did it for, he actually bottled out the first day. He was up here for an Erskine deal we had on the Friday night, and the trek on the West Hill was starting on the Saturday morning, and he says, I'll be joining you Saturday night. I says, well, hold on, I'm doing Saturday morning, I'm driving down after this and going to do it, so I can take you down. There's no reason you can't start it Saturday, I'll just start on Sunday, it's fine, I'll see you on Saturday night. So he bottled out the first day, but he did the rest. And Brian, you're saying about the stories that you hear, we had various different ex-Rangers players in the course of it. I've done it three times. With various, with Stuart McCall, Haley, Gordon DL, although he's not everybody's cup of tea. We've had Alec Ray, who I know quite well. Quite a lot of guys, you know, over the course of the time. Mm-hmm. And the stories, you don't even hear them in the after-dinner circuit because they're just having a crack with themselves.
Yeah.
It's stuff you just wouldn't hear anywhere else, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been very lucky to be in the company of these guys on kind of non-social events, you know, just kind of out for a walk stuff. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, wee Stuart McCall was as drunk as I've ever seen anybody at Clanlarach one of the years. I mean, that drunk, he went into the lassies' toilets in the pub because he's just thought it was a bloke. He was absolutely rattled. It was so funny.
Oh.
So funny.
Still the best ever clip of him falling off that car, isn't it?
Tremendous.
And Disney spill a drop. Disney spill anything.
Absolutely tremendous. He's brilliant. He really is. He's fantastic. Yeah.
He ends up also over tip, but the can stays the correct way up. Yeah. Yep. I manage that. I don't know. Brilliant.
Right. Yeah. And whoever thought when they saw that one day he'd manage Rangers?
I know. Yep.
But as I say, as you said there, Wolf, we'll sign off on a nice New Year Derby win. 3-1 at Parkhead. And so thanks to you two guys for coming on late tonight. I know you had prior commitments, but it was great going over that sort of second third of the season, we could say. And as you said, John, earlier, that was a good rerun we were building there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was seven. That was seven wins in a bounce. And we're still chasing Hearts. We're still a couple of points behind Hearts. In fact, I think we're Hearts through with Hibs. So Carol Jamble wouldn't have been too chuffed with that one. But but no, it was. I don't know if it was a point we went behind Hearts after this, or 3 points, whatever. But we're still in the Hearts coattails. What did I put? We gained a point in Hearts. So there's us
gone seven. Was it seven wins in a row? Did you say
seven wins in a row? Yep.
And Wolf, we're still behind Hearts, so Hearts must have been a really good team at this point.
Well, they were certainly getting the results. You know, I mean, that elephant was just hanging on near the top of that tree.
Yeah,
but elephants always fall out of trees.
Well, we must have went 1 point behind Hearts, because when we beat Falkirk, we were 2 points behind them. So we hadn't dropped any points. So So now we're doing all right.
Yep. So guys, as I said, thanks for coming on late tonight, and we shall see everybody in the third episode. Hopefully, we'll get from this point till the end of the season. So thank you guys.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And, thanks.
Enjoy the rest of your week. Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.